You know those kinds of people that you walk away from an interaction with them and not only their words, but just the way that they are, the energy that they embody is so inspiring. That's exactly how I feel about the guest that we have today on the No Bullshit Manifestation Show. I had the honor of interviewing my dear friend, Frances Faden, who is an interfaith minister, an author, an intuitive energy coach for creative lightworkers and conscious entrepreneurs, and the host of the Magnify Your Miracles podcast. She is a master intuitive healer and metaphysical coach, and she's fluent in the language of the human energy field known as the chakra system and can quickly translate energetic information to help her clients heal and transform. And I have had the honor of knowing Frances for a little over a year now, maybe just under a year. But the way in which Frances has inspired me to dive deeper into my own spirituality, my own energy, and truly understand myself on a deeper level has been so profound, as well as just her knowledge surrounding the feminine energy and how we can awaken to the feminine energy inside of ourselves. And this conversation is truly, I think, one of the most impactful and profound ones we've had on the No Bullshit Manifestation Show thus far. I walked away from the conversation being like, oh my gosh, this is going to help and inspire so many women. And it may piss you off a little bit too, which is the coolest thing because that's exactly what we're here for on the No Bullshit Manifestation Show. Frances does not sugarcoat anything because she wants to cut to the core of how to help you truly see yourself and heal in the most genuine way. So with all of that being said, on today's podcast episode, Frances and I dive into her story, which is so profound. Frances has been doing this work for decades now. She is no newbie to the world of manifestation, spirituality, energetics, and so much more. And we dive deep into how the feminine awakening process is different than the masculine awakening process, as well as how you can really start to connect to that divine feminine within you. So without a further ado, here is the podcast episode with Frances. And if you're wanting to connect with her, check out the show notes down below. There's so many different ways to be able to get into her energy as well. And if you enjoyed today's conversation, I highly encourage you do so.
What's up and welcome to the No Bullshit Manifestation Show, the podcast that demystifies all of the nonsense that surrounds manifestation and gives you the tools that you need to create your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life. I'm your host, Kat Kozad, manifestation expert and life coach, and I am so happy that you're here. Let's fucking do this thing.
Alrighty, friends. Today, I have my dear friend, Ms. Frances, with us, and I'm so excited for you to be on the show. Frances, you've been so inspiring to me in so many ways, and especially in being able to like further my spirituality, I feel as though has been a big one in watching you and the way in which you like embody spirituality in your life. So thank you for coming on to the podcast today.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm so grateful to be able to be here because this podcast is a source of great inspiration for me. So it's so fun that I get to actually be here with you.
Absolutely. Yay. Cool. Okay. So let's kick this off for everybody who's listening and for me as well. I would love to know more about your story, essentially like the journey that led you to be who you are and where you are in the world today, doing what you do and just like being the woman that you are.
Okay. Well, my story really goes back to when I was like seven and going to like Easter service morning with my mom and having this experience in the church where I was like, I was so joyful. And yet the priest was like, not joyful. And I was like, why is he not joyful? And I had this strong urge of like, I want to do that. Like, I want to get up and I want to talk about God, whatever I thought God was when I was seven. It's like, I want to do that. And I want to share that joyful vibration. And I was quickly shot down and told like, well, girls can't do that. Like women don't become priests. And my little seven-year-old self was like, that doesn't seem right. Like, what's up with that? And then what ended up happening was by the time I was like 11, you know, puberty hit me early. And by the time I was 11, I was like, what is going on in the world? And I knew that what I was being taught was not what I considered to be the truth. So I went on this quest, literally when I was 11 years old, started studying astrology, numerology, past lives. I just was in all the things. And like, I just was trying to really understand myself. I was trying to understand how the world worked. I didn't understand, you know, as a little kid. And then when I was about 19, I had a health crisis. And that's where all of my metaphysical searching kind of took a turn. And it went down the path of metaphysics and healing. And I went to my very first healer at that time. I was 19. And it was the wildest thing because my sister, I was in college at the time. My sister drove down and picked me up, took me to Long Island and took me to this woman. And she didn't have me fill out anything. All she had me do was like, she took a Q-tip and put it under my tongue and got some of my saliva and went in the back room. That's all I know. And she didn't ask me anything. She came out and I was having really bad abdominal pain and I didn't know why. I'd gone to the emergency room. Nobody knew why. And she comes right over to my gallbladder and she's like, this is the area. And she had this little energy chart or something. She's like, it's only functioning at like 20%. And I was like, oh my God, how did she do that? But here's the thing that blew my mind, Kat, is that she said to me, now I can give you the herbs that are going to help kind of, you know, move things along here. But unless you forgive whoever it is that you're so angry with, this is not going to fully heal. And I was like, how did she know? Because at that point in my life, my brother was like the bane of my existence. And I had so much anger towards my brother. And I was like, oh, but that's the first time I ever heard that there was any connection between mind, emotions, and body. So then I started going down that direction. And there was a part of me was like, I want to know how she did that. How did she do that? So I went to college and did all that. And then after college, I was like, yeah, I don't really want to do what I went to college for. So I wanted to figure out how I could be a healer. Now, this is way back in the day before you guys have this plethora of things, like you could go become a Reiki master in a weekend. Back then it was pretty much like, it was acupuncture school and chiropractic college and become a massage therapist. Those were like the things that were readily available. Anything other than that was like, nobody was doing at that time.
Yeah.
So I picked massage and I did that and it was fine. You know, I liked it and everything, but there was that something else that was missing. Like, where was that mystical, magical piece? And so I took an elective course while I was in school on chakra balancing. And that's the thing that made me go, this is it. This is the thing I've been looking for. And my teacher explained the seven chakras, how they correspond to a different part of you physically, mentally, emotionally, how it can show up for people. She was actually, I think she was a psychiatric nurse and she trained with somebody and she would actually do this energy work on people in the psychiatric ward and they would calm down, like people that were on all kinds of drugs. And she saw how when you can help people release energy, shifts could really happen. So I started incorporating it in my massage work. I would just kind of do it at the end of my body work. This is way back when. And the funny thing would start to happen. So I'd have clients that come see me every week or whatever it would be. And I would check their energy. And like, there's one person, like she had her second chakra was always having a challenge. That's what I call it. Cause you can't really have blocks in your chakras because if we're blocked, then you're not in your body anymore. So it's not accurate. It's more, I just say that there's a challenge there. It's not flowing as much.
Yeah.
After a few weeks, I was like, I just asked in my mind, like, why every time I clear this, like, why does it keep coming back? And me asking that question in my mind, I got an image flash in my mind and an impression at the same time. And I saw like this dog's face. And so I said to my client, this may sound weird, but is there any reason why I would be seeing or feeling like a dog around this party? It's like, oh, I lost my dog 2 months ago. I've been missing. I'm like, ah, that's what it is. There was some energy stuck there. There was some emotion that was stuck there. So this kept happening. The chakras started talking to me and I started getting pictures and I started getting impressions and feelings and sometimes sounds. And I was grateful that I had enough clients that I felt close to that I could say to them, hey, are you open to a little bit of feedback? And they'd say, sure. And I'd give them the feedback and they'd be like, how did you know that? I'm like, yeah, I don't really know how I knew that. I just kind of knew that. And what ended up happening was that ended up taking up the session is like, couldn't do this session for 3 hours. So I let go of doing the massage and I just focused on doing the chakra work. And it started out with mostly helping people with health and healing like it was for me. But very quickly, I discovered that my gift was really helping people identify the emotional stuff that was going on because that's usually 90% of the time what's blocking our energy is some kind of unresolved emotional thing.
Yeah.
So I was about an inch away from calling myself a medical intuitive. And I was like, no, I don't really want to talk about the medical stuff. I wanted to help people before it became a physical issue. I wanted to help them, you know, work things out on that level. And then as time went on, I, you know, was on my own journey and I realized it's like the thing that lights me up is helping people know what their purpose is, helping them discover what that is, go for, you know, what their big dream. And I love helping people who are here to do big things in the world.
Yeah.
So that all evolved. And then just when you think you know what's going on in your life, just when you think you have things going on, in 2012, I had been living in a spiritual community for about 6 years. And that was my dream. I thought, oh my God, I love living in the spiritual community. I always wanted my life to be about the divine. I had gotten ordained as an interfaith minister, and that kind of gave me a legal way to be doing the counseling that I was doing with people and doing the energy healing and everything I was doing. But I still had that desire. Like I really wanted to still be that minister, that priest. So I did get ordained. And then I found my path. I'd moved to California and got down the path of yoga, started studying the teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda. That opened my eyes. The more I studied yoga, the more I understood the Catholicism that I was raised with. I was like, is that what that means? Oh my God. I started to understand the mysticism behind everything, which was really powerful. So I was in this community, and as life has it, you know, wherever you go, there you are. And it was really a dysfunctional environment. Like a lot of my childhood stuff started coming up, just the dynamics that were there with people. The community itself had some trauma that was not healed, and they weren't healing it. And so let me just say, the more I tried taking care of myself, the more I was kind of made wrong and shunned. I was like, this sounds familiar. This sounds quite familiar. So we ended up leaving, but I was really heartbroken when we left because that was my dream. And it put me into doubt. Like, was I wrong? Was it not my heart's desire? How can I trust myself? I just was really in this place. So for about 9 months, we moved back down to Encinitas in Southern California. And I was going through my dark night of the soul, where I was just like lost. I was like, I thought I understood how the universe worked. I thought I could trust myself. I thought I knew what was going on. Like, and I questioned my relationship with God. And I was like, how could I let this happen? How could you let this happen? You know, all of these things. I went there to solidify my relationship with spirit. And I was just heartbroken. I was like, oh my God, I was really heartbroken. And then what ended up happening was I was praying and asking for some guidance. And there was a woman from India who comes around every year, Amashree Karunamai. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go see her. She was going to be in LA and she'll give you a blessing. You go up and you say a prayer and you give her, she'll give you a blessing. So my only blessing was, please help me open my heart back up to God. Please help me. Cause I was feeling so disconnected. And she gave me this blessing. She smiles and she says in her Indian accent, like, Divine Mother hears your prayers. Divine Mother's hearing your prayers. And I was like, okay. And she opened my heart and all this anger came out. I thought I was going to have this blissful experience, but all this anger came out. And I was like, okay. But then 6 weeks after that, the energy of Mother Mary started showing up. And I was like, well, that's interesting. Mother Mary's energy showing up. And it showed up in a healing format. And one of my teachers was sending out this miraculous thing of healing oil that came from this icon. It was this beautiful thing that happened. So I ordered one of these things. I thought, okay, great. And about a month after that, this is 2012, I was praying. I was like, all right, God, I really need help. Divine Mother, I really, really need this help. Now, because I've been working with energy for 20 years, I knew what energy feels like.
Yeah.
And as I was saying that prayer, sitting at my altar, my eyes are closed, I could feel the energy in the room shift. And I knew someone was standing behind me. I was like, but I didn't dare open my eyes. I was like, I am not going to open my eyes, but I could feel it. I had been used to doing this. So in my mind's eye, I turned around in my mind's eye and I looked, I'm like, who's behind me? And I could see the outline, just like this outline here behind me. And it was what I call Mother Mary. And I was like, oh God, that's Mother Mary. So I just very casually was like, Mother Mary, why are you here? And she just said, I want to be on the next call that you're doing. I was doing these messages and these channeled calls. She's like, I want to be on your next call. And I was like, you do? And she's like, yes. I said, okay. And then boom, like that, she was gone. Just as fast as she was there, she was gone. And then my mind immediately was like, did I make that up? Like, what just happened? And then all the doubt came in of like, oh my God, I'm not really Catholic and I'm gay on top of it. Like, how's this going to work? And
yeah,
but I was in such a place, you know, when that is, it's like, I was in such a place that I was like, I got to do something, you know? Mm-hmm. So let me try it. Let me see if I can do it. So I did. I did a call where I was channeling messages from what I call Mother Mary. And I said a prayer before and I was like, all right, Spirit, you got to let me know if I'm making this up. You got to let me know if I'm going down the wrong road. And I did it. And I was able to, you know, give people personal messages that I believe were from Mother Mary. And at the end of the call, I just said, does anybody have any questions? And the first three people didn't ask me a question. They said, I don't know if you're wondering if this is your purpose, but I just want to tell you that this is what you're supposed to be doing. I was like, okay, that's that confirmation. Wow. So I've been sharing her messages ever since and mm-hmm. working with people one-on-one, doing it, channeling. But I will say for the people that are listening, what I've come to learn is the energy that I call Mother Mary is really the field of unconditional love. It comes mm-hmm. to me in a form that I can understand. But if we were in China, it would be Kuan Yin. If we were in India, it would be Lakshmi. If we were in Egypt, it would be Isis. It doesn't, it's just like, it's the divine mother. It's the divine feminine. So she comes to me in the form that I can understand. And believe me, I would have much rather it had been any of those other forms than Mother Mary. I was like, I don't want to have anything to do with the stuff I grew up with, but it's been really healing for me. And yeah. it's been the thing that I really needed because Mother Mary is always guiding me that what I call the woman's path of awakening, which is really different than the male path of awakening. It's all about self-care and it's all about honoring yourself. So now I've integrated Mother Mary into the work that I do. She's always working with me when I'm doing my channeling work with people, whether I'm doing it in a group or one-on-one, that guidance, that unconditional love energy is always there and it's really powerful. So that's my story.
Oh, Frances, I just like, and I every single aspect of that I could talk about forever. There were three times in everything that you said that just gave me like full body chills and like almost wanted to start crying.
Yeah.
First one was when you said you were, it was either 7 or 11. Yeah. You're like, what I'm being taught is not the truth.
Yeah.
Whoa, 7 or 11. So can you expand a little bit more on like, kind of like what you were seeing at that time and what you were experiencing internally that was like, wait, I know that this isn't it.
Yeah. So when I was little, I was just like, wow, you know, wide open, like most of us are. And I was alone a lot when I was little. So I mm-hmm. had a connection with spirit and I come from a, you know, one side's Italian and Catholic, the other side's Irish and Catholic. So a lot of Catholic vibration. But my grandmother that I'm named after had this very personal relationship with spirit. So she was always talking. She's the Italian one. She's always talking to St. Anthony and St. Francis. And whenever she'd come to our house and then she, like for Easter and then she'd go home, she'd walk in her front door. She'd be like in her Italian accent, Jesus, I'm home. You know, that's my grandmother. So for me, it was really normal that this felt like a personal connection. Like, doesn't everybody just talk to the statue in their living room? Like, doesn't everybody do that? Mm-hmm. So I had this really strong sense of that connection when I was little. And right around that time that I was 7, it was so strong that I was like, boy, why is that priest not happy? Like, this is a joyful thing. And I could really feel that then. And then I kind of slowly got talked out of it. Mm-hmm. But I had this sense of like, why would God give me a desire if that wasn't supposed to happen? Mm-hmm. That was the thing. And I don't know where, it must be a past life thing. But when I was really little, I was like, that doesn't make sense. And for as much as I do all this stuff that I do, I'm actually really very practical and very down to earth about a lot of it. And I'm like, if it doesn't make sense, it's probably not true. I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, just believe in the mystery. I'm like, because we're starting to see now, like quantum physics is showing us, they call it the quantum field. I call it the field of unconditional love. All these things that we're noticing is starting to be proven. Yep. And the universe is very orderly. So for me, I just had this sense of like, there's gotta be more than this. And I was so mm-hmm. committed to figuring out like what the truth was. I remember when I took a class when I was in sixth grade, I was so excited to take my first science class. I was like, yay, we're going to figure out how the world works. And I was so disappointed because I was like, they have no idea how the world works. I was like, I mean, they observe what's happening, but when you say, why is that happening? They're like, we don't know. And we just named this after some guy. So that's when I was like, yeah, I'm not going to do science. So I started doing, you know, metaphysics. I started to study, like, there's gotta be more that's here. And that's when I started seeing patterns and I started noticing, like, there's 12 signs in the zodiac, and then there's the numbers, and then all these different things. And I just had this sense of like, there's gotta be more, there's gotta be more. And that's the thing that kind of, that as well as feeling really out of place in the world. Like, I was really uncomfortable in my body. I didn't understand why did some people like me? Why did some people not like me? I think I just was trying to sort things through, and I felt like there's an answer here somewhere. So I just went down the road, and I have a sister who's 5 years older than me, and she introduced me to astrology and a lot of different things. I laugh about it now when I think about it, but I just always had this sense of like, there's more than this.
Yeah. Wow. That's so profound. And I can imagine for so many of the women who are listening, they can relate so deeply in the fact, because I can relate, that when I was a kid, I would look around at my circumstances and I'd be like, I'm made for so much more than this. And there was nothing like logically or practically that should have like said that for me, because it was like, this is all that I know. But deep soul level, I was like, I'm made for more than this. Like, this doesn't feel right for whatever reason, but it was somewhere along the way, I forgot that. And I then was like, oh, okay, well, this is my given circumstances. So maybe this is all that I'm meant for.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I had like my rock bottom moment where I was like, oh, wait, no, actually I am made for so much more. But I feel as though what you're saying in your story that you're sharing is like this feminine awakening process. I've noticed for the women that I've worked with, the women I've had the opportunity to speak with, myself, my friends, that there is such a different awakening process. Yep. So what has your experience with that been like? And like, what have you noticed in terms of like the feminine awakening?
Yeah. So I love talking about this. This is one of my favorite things. And when I realized it, I was like, oh, now I get it. So here's what I know is that on the spiritual path, men and women, we have the same issue, which we can just call our ego, right? Mm-hmm. So our ego is our sense of self, but it's also our sense of separation, right? Mm-hmm. And the way that I like to think about it is it's almost like if you think of the world as a circle and there's an equator in the middle, there's a northern hemisphere and there's a southern hemisphere. What meant, because we live in a patriarchal society, it might be different in a different time period, but because we live in a patriarchal society, the ego issue that men need to heal is that they think they're better than everything. Like, they have an inflated sense. Like, from the day that they're born, they're treated like the world revolves around them. And so they have that inflated sense. For women, it's the opposite. Usually from the, even if you had the best parents, our society is going to treat you differently. And even on an energetic level, it's like, we can feel that there are little girls somewhere who are being given away or hurt or whatever. So that energy, it's like women have that sense. Our ego is like, I'm not good enough. You know, I'm not, you know, that kind of thing. And so what was so interesting for me is to recognize that it's still the same ego. It's just one is telling you you're better than, one is telling you you're less than. And so if we think about it, it's like men are from the northern hemisphere, women are from the southern hemisphere. The equator is where there's no ego. It's like we're all just in that oneness vibration. So I looked at this, Kat, and you know, I'm an interfaith minister. So I've studied all the different, you know, texts and all the different things. And we've been in this patriarchal system for thousands of years.
Yeah.
And I realized that, you know, these teachings, what it says in the Bible, what it says in some of these different scriptures, they're not written for us. They weren't even written for us. And if you know the history, it's like women weren't even, like Jewish women weren't even allowed to read the Torah. Like, that wasn't even, so how could it be for us? How could this be the spiritual truth for us about, you know, make yourself less than, don't think about yourself so much, do unto others the way that, you know, you treat yourself. You have to assume that you're treating yourself well, right? So I looked at all of that and I said, oh, wait a minute. All of these teachings that we've been given in our culture, whether it's Judaism or Christianity or Islam or any of them, any of these traditional things that have been written down in the last 5,000 years are really written for people in the Northern Hemisphere. So you get a woman who's like, quote unquote, a good Christian woman, and she's self-sacrificing and she's putting herself last and she's doing all these things. And when you do that, see, women are, need to go north, men need to go south, right? To get to that equator where there's no ego, men need to be not thinking about themselves. They need to be doing selfless service. They need to be keeping that ego in check. If a woman does that, she ends up down at the South Pole.
Yep.
And then she's burned out and she's like, I'm being such a good person. Why is this not working for me?
Yeah.
So that voice that's telling you, I'm not enough. It's still your ego. And that's the big wake up call for me is I was like, wait a minute, I'm still dealing with my ego. It's just the ego telling me I'm not enough. I'll never be enough or whatever it might be. So women need to go north. They need to go north, and north, instead of it being do unto others, as you know, you'd have them do unto you, it's really do unto yourself as you do unto others. Women need to take care of themselves and learn to honor themselves. And that's what gets them going north. Once we get at the equator, it doesn't matter. Once we get to that point where it's like, there's no me here anyway, I'm just one with everything that is, but you can't get to that oneness when you feel like crap. You can't get to that place of feeling your connection with spirit when there's still a part of you that's like, I'm not enough. I'm not doing enough. Something's wrong with me. I'm inherently flawed. I feel guilty. Like all of those things that you and I know, like women really struggle with, that's going to keep you going south and it takes you in the opposite direction. So I used to think that maybe there was a path out there, like a religion. I have yet to find a religion that really honors women other than the earth-based religions, because they all put women in a box and they're all in this paradigm of, you know, the men and the women. And when women follow that path, that masculine path, it hurts them.
Yes.
That's what I've seen.
I just want to say, like, thank you for sharing that. And I can imagine perhaps for a few listeners, like they're going to hear that and that's going to hurt their feelings, which I'm glad if that's you and you're the listener that hurts your feelings, I'm glad that hurts your feelings, because the things that hurt your feelings are typically the things that you need to hear in some sort of capacity to be able to bring you back home and go north versus continue to bring yourself down south and be in this space of, being self-sacrificing, being selfless, being being in that energy for others, because it's so deeply conditioned. And I know both of us have talked about that so much.
Yeah.
And something that kept on coming up for me as you were saying that is like, I feel so grateful, especially like over, I'd say like the past year and a half with like Beyonce's Renaissance tour and like Taylor Swift's Eras tour. Like we've been given in just like in that sense, like two very powerful female leaders that are stepping in and showing women, like, just be you, just be the whatever era that is, whatever like way you want to show up that day. Like that is beautiful. That is enough in every single season, whether your heart is broken, whether you're feeling like you're on top of the world, like, that is beautiful. That is what we want. And I feel as though I've seen so many women from specifically those two events, but just in general, like I feel as though there is this truly like divine feminine rising that is happening right now, whether women are like conscious and tapped into it or not.
Yeah.
And it's so much of what you're sharing where it's like, I think we're becoming more connected with our bodies.
Yeah, and starts there.
Internal wisdom, like you were talking about earlier with the chakras as well, of like when we can tune in, tap into the energy that is inside of us, especially as women, then we're brought back home.
Absolutely.
That's so beautiful.
It really started. This is where I am on my journey. It's like really being in my body, really having that relationship with my body, because this is the temple, you know, this right here is the temple. And if women really felt that way, I mean, everybody needs to feel that way, but especially women, to treat your body. I really don't know too many women that if you say to them, hey, do you love and accept your body exactly as it is, that they're like, oh yeah, I love my body. There's always like, well, my butt, my thighs, you know, there's always something. And that's that little self-hatred. That's that little patriarchal thing that really can eat away at us. And, you know, one of the things I'm going to share here, and maybe you can help this whole thing, Kat, is that I think one of the things that we need as women is we need to have words that we can call ourselves that don't have a negative connotation. I've been thinking about this, like with Taylor Swift and Beyonce, it's like, we don't really have a word for a woman who is powerful, who's at the top of her game through her own energy. Like, she didn't marry into it. She didn't inherit it. I've noticed that whenever you want to compliment a woman, it's hard to, like, what's a word for a strong, powerful woman that's positive and hasn't been sexualized? So I looked at this and I'm like, you know, like the master of the house and the mistress. It's like the word mistress does not have a positive connotation. A man who's a singer and he's a maestro and she's a diva doesn't have a positive connotation. I'm like, this is so interesting, is patriarchy has stripped us of our words. We don't even have words to refer to each other so that we can say, like, these little girls who are looking up at Taylor Swift and Beyonce, they're like, I want to be that. It's like, what is that? We don't even have a word for that, you know? So maybe you and I need to come up with some words that we can do. The only word I was able to come up with was a maven. A maven is a gender neutral word. But if we don't even have words for it, how can we embody it?
Totally. 100%. It is. It's so profound. And I even think about that in the way of, like, when I think of, like, women who've been able to, like, make it on their own and whatnot, like, there has been the energy of, like, girl boss, like, she's a girl boss. But now it's like, oh no, don't be a girl boss. Like, don't hustle. Don't do that. You're being so masculine. You're being so this. And it's just another, like, oh, let's make women feel bad about themselves.
Exactly. And that that whole thing, like, girl boss, do we ever say boy boss? No. Do we ever use the word boy and when we're referencing a man ever? And if we do, it's like, no, but we call girl. And now, I mean, I do too, girl, you know, I do too. Mm-hmm. But it's really interesting that in our culture, it's like even the words that we're using are keeping us kind of not in our power. So
yeah,
I think helping women to really own that. And a big piece of it is understanding your own energy, understanding how you're wired, what your strengths are, not trying to copy other people. All of that's really, really important.
Absolutely. And so in your story that you were sharing, something that the next thing that gave me full body chills was when you were talking about going to this woman in LA and you were recentered into your heart space, like coming back to the heart space, and just so much anger came out and you expecting it to be this, like, light, bright, beautiful experience. I'm getting back into my heart. It's going to feel good. It's like, wait, there's so much rage there. And I feel as though that's also part of the feminine path, that, like, women are told, like, shh, no, like, don't be angry. Don't be too loud. And it's like, when you finally get back into your heart space, and I know this for both of us through our healing experiences, it's like, it gets really ugly and angry and loud. And, like, I want to remove the word ugly, because that's like putting this negative connotation on it as well. But it's like, it's just messy. It's like, it feels chaotic because there's been so much of this energy that's been stored inside of the body for such a long time. So if you don't mind, I would love to hear more about that experience of, like, getting back into the heart space and just the anger that came along with it.
So I, you know, what I realized is I had been so angry with myself. I had been so angry with myself, because here's what actually happened when I was living in that spiritual community, is my wife Deepa and I, we started seeing little red flags, and I was kind of like, la, la, la. I didn't want to see them because I was so attached to this being, like, no, this is my dream. This is my dream. Don't mess with my dream. And the more I tried to conform, the thinner my intuition was. It's like, I stopped being able to hear quite as much as I had heard before, because I was ignoring my guidance, which was like, you know what? There's some things here that are a little bit questionable. Yeah. Now Deepa, you can't get anything past her. And she was kind of like, I think this is going on. And I was like, no, I don't think that's going on. But there were definitely some things that were, in my opinion, they weren't dharmic. They weren't doing the thing that they said they were going to be doing. And there were some people that were being hurt by that.
Yeah.
So I had, by the time we had been there for 6 years, we were there probably 3 years too long. And I was mad because I didn't want to leave. I was mad because I needed to leave. I was mad because I'd stayed so long. I was mad because I went there in the first place. I was just like, I was so mad. And I was really just, it all got directed back at me. I was just really angry with myself. And that negative voice was like, how could you be so stupid? And, you know, that kind of thing happening. And it made me question just everything. Just like, how can I even be an intuitive healer advisor to other people when I was so wrong? That was my thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, I felt like I was so wrong. It was a mistake. Mm-hmm. So when I went to go see Amma, and this isn't the hugging Amma, this is a different Amma, Amma Sri Kirunamai. And I just had that simple prayer, just open my heart. and so she did, she blessed me. And I just turned around and I'm in this room full of, like, you know, people there to get blessed. And I was just like, get me out of here. I was just so annoyed. I was so irritated. I just felt like, get me out of here, you know, that kind of an energy. And I went outside and I was just like, oh my God, there it is. Like, there is no get blessed and then you're in this blissful thing. I had to let myself feel how angry I was. And I can't say honestly that it all came out in that moment, but that was the start of it coming out. And then letting myself admit, like, okay, I need to release this energy. I need to let it go. When I got back home, I was like, I felt calm after that. And I was like, oh, I feel calm for the first time. Like, for the first time ever, I had this calmness come over me. And I was like, oh, okay. And then my mind kicked in and was like, well, we'll see. Maybe that was nothing. Who knows? But it opened the door for, I don't think that I would have been able to feel Mother Mary's presence if that hadn't happened, because I believe she's been around me this whole time, knocking on my door. And I was like, nope, no, no, thanks. No. But when we have those unresolved emotions, we're really blocked off from ourselves. Because in my experience, what I believe is that Divine Mother, she lives in our own hearts. Everybody has that connection with her. It's our own deepest wisdom in our heart center. And when we shut it off because we've gotten hurt or whatever it might be, that's when people say, like, I don't know what to do. I feel lost. I don't know. It's usually because we've shut down our heart chakra because we've been hurt. And it's like a little database. It's like you have the database, but it's offline. You can't access it. So that really helped me to get it back online, even though it wasn't pleasant. It was really important.
Yeah, absolutely. So for the listeners who are resonating with this, is like, there's something there for me as well. Like, my heart's closed off, because I'm such a firm believer in the fact that, like, the divine feminine energy is the energy of openness. Like, it is full heart open, even when it hurts and you're like, oh, this hurts. And I'm going to continue to stay open in it.
Yep.
How would you suggest somebody goes about starting to give themselves that, like, that space, that grace to open their hearts back up?
Yeah. So I actually think it's great to work with somebody, but a really good place to start, like, if you just want to start today, is, I'm a big fan of journaling. Mm. And I think journaling is one of the safest ways that you can just let it out. You know, say what you need to say, admitting first, like, this really hurts. Like, ow, this really hurts. Or I'm really sad. Like, we don't give ourselves permission to give voice to whatever it might be. And so start by just admitting, even if you're just admitting, like, I don't even know what I'm feeling. Just the fact that you're putting your attention back on yourself. Remember, for women, we're heading north. When you put your attention back on yourself, it automatically puts you in the right direction. And you're asking yourself, what am I even feeling? And giving yourself permission to feel things. I'm already hearing, like, some of the good girls out there, like, it's not good to be mad at your mom. It's not okay to not forgive your brother or whatever it might be. It's like, let yourself be angry. I think I was so angry because I didn't let myself be angry for 6 years. I was like, no, everything's fine. This is great. Everything's going great. Please tell me everything's going great. And so by the time I got to that point, I had realized that I had done that to myself. They didn't do that to me. I did it to myself. And it was for me to undo that. And so just know, I'm hearing Mother Mary say to me to tell everybody, it's like, first you have to know that healing's possible. no matter what you've been through, no matter what you've been through, the worst thing, whatever. It's like healing is always possible. As long as you're breathing, healing is possible. And your path of healing is going to be unique to you. So don't think you have to do it the way that I did it, the way that you did it, Kat, or the way that anybody does it. It's like your path is specific to you. And yeah. I always say, I think start with our bodies, like start taking really good care of your body. If you're doing anything harmful, if you're drinking or eating or doing any of those things, do the best you can to start there, because those small acts of self-love send us north. Those small 100%. Acts of self-love of like, you know, I think maybe I'm going to eat organic, or maybe I'm going to drink more water, or maybe I'm going to start doing yoga. Anything that you do will start you on that path. And believe me, you'll be guided. Just ask, pray and ask, whatever you believe in. Divine Mother, universe, say, I'm willing to heal. That's all the universe needs to know, is like, I'm willing to heal. If you say that, like, I'm willing to heal, show me the next step and keep your eyes open. That's where I would start. And then always, if you can find somebody good to work with that you trust that can help you. Some people need to do more like therapy. Some people do better with body work. Some people do better with coaching. It just depends. I really think for all of us super sensitive people, we always need to be working with somebody that works with energy. I think energy work is really important for all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. I love all of that. And I think it's in these everyday moments, we don't realize how important they are and how much they can either connect us or disconnect us with ourselves and with the divine. I'm also a firm believer in the fact that like that divinity is ever present. Like it's within me and it is in everything. Even the person outside that's like screaming so angry, I'm like, oh, there's God. Like that's just God. Like they're angry and that's God experiencing that right now. But it's like in these everyday moments, the food that you're putting in your body, the songs that you're listening to, the time that you take to shower and bathe and take care of yourself and whatnot, like all of that is you connecting yourself with the divinity within you and also bringing yourself, like you said, further north towards the equator, to be in this place of unconditional love and in this love vibration. So with like your experience then stepping into connecting with the spirit of Mother Mary and channeling Mother Mary, how did that grow for you? Like, was it at first, like you said, it was kind of like, did I imagine that? Did that actually happen?
Yeah. So, you know, I teach intuition and it's one of the things I talk about is like, if you want to become confident with your intuition, you need two things. One is having some context for the messages that you're getting. Cause otherwise it's like, was that a message? Like everything could be a message. So for me, I work within the chakras and everything's in your chakras. I can see people's purpose in their chakras. I can know about your relationships are in your chakras, anything you want to know, it's in there. So that gives me a context. And most people, I think they're confused because they're like, well, I got a message, but it was random and it's not, they're not asking a question. So that, but then the second thing is getting feedback. Feedback is the thing that made a difference for me. So when I first started doing this work and this is a long time ago, I would be working with people over the phone and I would record it on cassettes and I would mail the cassette to people. And I was kind of like, I think that was helpful. I don't know if it was helpful. So I started calling my clients the next day and saying, hey, I let you know that your cassette's in the mail. And how are you feeling today? And I would ask them for feedback. And they would say, you know, when you said this thing, I didn't really understand it. But today, now I know what you were talking about. And that boosted my confidence. And that really helped me. So I always recommend to people, we're all wired for intuition, but we're wired differently. Yeah. And the big challenge people have is like, they might be clairsentient. They might like feel things really intensely, but they want to see things. And so they're not picking up their messages because they're trying so hard to see it. Meanwhile, their body's talking to them, you know, all the time. So go with the way that you're wired, whatever's easy for you. All the rest of them come. So my main way is claircognizance, which is like, you just know, like you don't know. And then, you know, and I didn't even know that that was a thing. Yeah. So as I started going with like, I'm like, why am I suddenly like, I know something that I didn't know before. Then a picture would come, then a sound would come, then a feeling would come. So spirit speaks in symbols and energy. It's like a language that you can learn and everybody has their own way of, you know, knowing what that is. So for me, it happens so fast right now that I see, I hear, I feel. It's more like impressions at the same time. And then I'm translating that. So when Mother Mary started working with me, what I noticed is my ability to do it grew exponentially. And it's the channeling piece that really grew when Mother Mary came, because when she started working with me, suddenly everybody that needed to come started to come. She gives me the ability to channel anybody. So I can channel Mother Mary, I can channel Jesus, I can channel Archangel Michael, I can channel any of these beings, because it all comes from the same field of unconditional love. As long as I'm tapped into that field, everybody and everything that's in that field, I have access to, which I don't say that to brag. I'm really, really grateful. Yeah. And it's a gift that I've been given. I'm like, oh, wow, that's amazing. But I do think that all of us can tap into that field of unconditional love and can learn how to do that even for ourselves. So it's really changed the way that I see things. And one of the most amazing things is I'll be giving a class or I'll be doing a channeling and she'll be telling me something to tell people that I've never heard of before. And I'm like,
yeah,
is that how it works? And she'll be saying something like, tell them this, or like tell them what goes on. And I'm like, oh, I never heard that before. So I learn as I go. It's pretty amazing.
That's beautiful. So when Mother Mary is coming through for you, she specifically is like, tell them this, like you hear that part of like, tell them, or this is like coming from her to share in that sort of way.
Yeah. So I have my little format that I do. So I always say a prayer beforehand and I invoke her presence to be with me, even though she'll talk to me even when I'm not doing that, but I do that. And then again, it gives me that context of talking to somebody, and I ask people questions. I don't tell people things. I'm like, okay, this is what I'm getting. Does this make sense to you? That type of thing. Cause I really want it to be useful and I want it to be both of us. I don't want to be on a pedestal or something like that, but sometimes she'll say to me, remind them of this or ask them about that. And so I'll say, okay, so Mother Mary's asking me, and she asks me so that I understand how to interpret what I'm seeing. So she might ask me to say like, so remember to ask Kat about that cleanse that she did and how did that go for her, so that I'm on board with where you are, so that when she's showing me something, I know what she's talking about.
Yeah.
It kind of goes like that. And you know, your spirit guides are in your energy field. Your ancestors are in your energy field. Everybody's in your energy field. And so that's why I'm a big proponent of work with somebody that can work with your energy field, because even your dreams, your manifestations, they're in your energy field already. I used to see this all the time when I was working with younger clients, which I still do, is I'd be like, have you been thinking about having a baby? And they'd be like, I have been thinking about that. Why? I'm like, because there's a baby in your energy field. That soul is already there. Way before conception, it's like, I'm like, oh, there's a little soul in your energy field. So everything that you might want to manifest is already in your energy field. And that's where if people follow your advice and they do these things, it's just bringing it from the unseen into the seen.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, it's just like, it's so cool to me because, and I know you know this, and you've been a really big inspiration for this, is like, I've started psychic training in the ways of like, I've always received channel messages, but I've never understood like how or why or who they're coming from or what. And I still don't know. But it's been so cool to tap into what you're talking about of like, all of us have this, whether it be, like you said, clairsentient, clairvoyant, claircognizant. It's claircognizant for me majority of the time.
Yep.
And just being able to, like we're talking about, when we give ourselves permission to pour into ourselves, especially as women, we get turned on to these things that are always here. Like one of my best friends in the city, he's a guy, he's been married for 13 years. And he's like, one thing I can tell you is that I will never fuck with my wife's intuition. Like, she knows every single time. And we do as women, it's something that I feel so, so grateful for, is the fact that like we are so tapped into intuition just by being women, just by having this feminine energy inside of ourselves. And it's so powerful to hear what can happen with it and the extent that we can like expand within this intuition and the messages that we receive. And you're a prime example of it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's so true. And I really encourage women to own that gift. I think we've been talked out of it by the patriarchy and scared of like, oh no, am I going to be a witch? I'm like,
yeah, bad own or that. Wrong.
Own that. It's like, it's so important. And as somebody who is also an interfaith minister, just say a prayer, you know, pray to whatever you believe in and just tap into the highest frequency that you can. And for me, that energy is the energy of love. It's like, tap into the highest frequency that you can, and then you're good to go. You're always going to be getting excellent, excellent guidance.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to know your thought on this, because this is the way that I see it, is like, for the longest time when I was like praying or connecting with spirit, God, source, the universe, whatever it may be for anybody who's listening, I thought I needed to do it in a certain way, in like a certain format, say specific things. And now I'm like, literally, if I was to like pick up FaceTime and talk to my best friend, and like my best friend is God, like how would I talk to God? And I'm just like, what's up, God? Like, it's me, Kat, again. Like, give the update of the day, like chit chat the way that I do on my Instagram story and stuff like that. And then I'm like, the way in which I just feel as though like manifestation has been happening, synchronicities, messages, whatnot, as I've kind of taken this like formality out of the equation of it needing to be a certain way, and really have shown up in this energy of like, I'm as connected to this spirit, if not more, than I am to the people that I love the most in my life. So I'm going to talk to it that way.
Yep.
It's showed up in the most profound ways.
Yep. That's it in a nutshell. So I wrote a book a long time ago called Meditation is Friendship with God. And I speak about this exactly, which is, yeah, you can learn all the techniques, but then what happens, you know?
Yep.
And I'm a firm believer in just approaching. For me, I talk about Divine Mother, but you know, however you would reach out to a friend, that's what I recommend. It's the most effective, because there's no pretense there and it's coming from your heart. The most important thing is, do I feel connected? If I'm feeling connected when I'm doing it, I'm good. Some people, formality really works for them. That formality, like that ritual or whatever it might be, that totally works for them. And if it does, there's power in that.
Yes.
But if it doesn't work for you and it makes you feel kind of like, am I doing it right? And it gets you in your head, then it's not the right thing for you. I'm a big proponent of exactly what you said. Like, people say to me, well, how do I pray? And I'm like, well, how do you talk to your best friend?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is there a rule? Like, you just pick up the phone and you're like, what's up? What's going on? It's just like that. And whatever's going on with you, some people are like, oh, I don't want to bother God. I'm like, please, God wants to know all these things, you know, because God is you. It's the energy that's within you. And there's nothing that's going on with you that could possibly be wrong or any of that. And it'll make you feel connected. So the more you feel connected, the more that intuition is going to expand for you.
Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful. Okay. I have two questions for you.
Okay.
First one is, one of the questions that I get so often that I am still figuring out, and I'd love to know your interpretation on, is I often get the question of, is God the energy of the divine masculine?
Well, the more that I'm on the planet, the more that I have my own personal experience with the divine, it's a lot more like Star Wars. It's like the Force. So it's both masculine and feminine, and neither and both. And there's no, see, I think that this is where we're all steeped in patriarchy, is there's no hierarchy. There's no hierarchy. So it's not like the sacred feminine's here and the sacred masculine's here. It's like, it's one energy. You know, I just did this call on the solstice for the first time. I was doing this healing channeling thing that I was doing. It was really amazing. And I was channeling all the beings that I know. And all of a sudden I heard this equally masculine and feminine voice. I am that I am. And I was like, oh my God, that's like the Almighty. Like, what is that? And I could hear it equally, like this unified voice. And I was like, oh, when we get beyond all of our duality, it's the energy of oneness. So for me personally, it's going to ruffle a lot of feathers, but no, I don't think that the divine is only masculine. I think as above, so below. We don't look around our world, look out in nature and be like, oh, there's only masculine energy. It doesn't work that way.
No.
Or just feminine energy doesn't work that way either.
Yes. Beautiful. That's the interpretation that I have of it, as well, and it's been interesting. And I found within, especially probably like the past year, I've just started talking about the universe like it's God, because for me, such a long time saying God, I was scared what people are gonna think of me. Yep. Where it was like, oh my God, if I say God, like, what are people still gonna listen to me? Or are they gonna like wanna like
yep.
go somewhere else? And I've yep. really come to this place with my relationship with God where it's like, if somebody doesn't enjoy what I am saying about God, then that's okay. And I'm okay with that. But coming to this place of like being able to share with people is like, yes, neither and it's both at the exact same time. And that's mm-hmm. really confusing when we've been so ingrained to be like, it's this or that. It's like, we live in an and universe, like this and that. We can have both at the same time. So such a beautiful answer to that. And then last question I have for you, I literally could talk to you all day long, which you already know,
yeah. but
what is one piece of no bullshit advice that you could give to everybody who is listening?
Trust yourself. Trust yourself. And I mean that for women, this is the number one thing that gets in your way. We doubt ourselves constantly. So trust your desire. Trust your own intuition. Trust your sense about things. Trust that you're on the right path. Trust that you're going to take care of yourself. Just, it's so important. When I work with women, very often it's that third chakra. It's the solar plexus that is the one that has the hardest time. Women have a hard time owning their power because I think power has been used against us for so long that we're afraid, like, am I going to become this negative version of power? But women really need to own that power. In order to do that, you really need to trust yourself. If you can trust yourself, that's the third chakra. You'll immediately get your energy up into your heart chakra, which is where all that wisdom is. But we can't access the wisdom if we don't trust ourselves, because you can access it, but then you're going to be back in doubt again, and you're going to be wondering all over again. So I say, trust yourself, trust your desires, trust your body, trust your intuition. That's the key.
Mic drop. We're out. Beautiful, 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 beautiful. And I feel as though everything that you've given us in this conversation just sparks curiosity for so much more. So where can people find you, and what do you have going on that they can be a part of so that they can continue to get in your field?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So you can always go to my website, francisfaden.com, and that's Francis spelled with an E. You can hang out with me on my podcast, one of my favorite places to hang out, which is the Magnify Your Miracles podcast. And you can get that all the places where you get your podcast. About once a month, I do a healing channeling, and you can find out about that at francisfaden.com/healing. And on YouTube, you can hang out with me on YouTube. I've been doing more things over there as well. So that's where you can find me.
Beautiful. And I will link all of that down below in the show notes. But Frances, thank you so much for this conversation. It lit me up. So I know it's going to light up the listeners as well.
Oh, I'm so grateful to get to be here. Yay. Thank you so much. And thank you for the work that you're doing, being such a light in the world and helping all of us head north.
Absolutely. It's my favorite thing to do.
Hey, real quick before you go, I have something for you. If you are loving the No Bullshit Manifestation Show and you're always wanting to expand and calibrate your nervous system for greater levels of wealth, then I've created the perfect nervous system expansion meditation for you. This meditation will take you through the process that I use to start to call in greater levels of wealth into my life and calibrate your nervous system for more money moving forward. All you have to do to claim this meditation is leave a review for the No Bullshit Manifestation Show on Apple Podcasts and or Spotify. Take a screenshot of your review and send it to me via email, which is hello@katkozad.com. Once I get your email with the screenshot of the review, I will send you the link to claim your nervous system expansion meditation for money manifestation. You can also find these instructions down below in the show notes. But with that, that's all that I have for you. And I am sending you my love. I'll chat with you on the next podcast.